The Sports Grid Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by Colin Drew to talk about what you all want to hear, and that is the $1 million up top fantasy football showdown on DraftKings. This is going to be exclusively a single game strategy and theory conversation podcast about the $1 million up top this week on Sports Grid. Colin, I don't actually know. Are we doing this show weekly? Is this going to be a weekly thing where we talk about the Thursday showdown?
No, I think the normal schedule is going to be the main slate breakdown. It's going to be on Thursdays, but $1 million up top deserves a little bit of a schedule alteration, and I want to give the people a little bit of what they want. Showdown. It's been a long wait. You know, NFL, DFS finally back. Showdown finally back. We got our feet wet with the preseason, the Hall of Fame game showdown. Got another win under the showdown belt, but $1 million, that's something I haven't accomplished yet. So we still got goals this year, Davis.
This is gonna be easily the most efficient ownership of all time in Showdown, right? Because everyone who's entering these contests is spending, I mean, at least 2 hours working on their stuff and probably more. Like, more people are dissecting the difference between Cordarrelle Patterson and Jake Kumerow than they're ever going to do for any other Showdown slate for the rest of the 17 weeks of the regular season.
I will say, it is pretty interesting. Sometimes you get the vanilla showdown slates and it's a single game and you kind of know the teams pretty well because it's, you know, week 14 or something like that, and there's an established pecking order. A lot of questions on this opening showdown slate, so I think that is going to be pretty interesting from a strategy perspective. The Packers may be a little bit more established, maybe a little bit more predictable. Some things we might disagree on a little bit there, but on the Bears side of the ball, I mean, not only are they favored in the game, but there are a lot of question marks as far as how exactly they're going to use some of their new toys. So I think that actually makes it one of the most interesting showdown slates that we've had, where a lot of the ownership might congregate on the underdog team here, creating some potential opportunities on the Bears.
So I think the first thing, before even getting into player groups and specific player opinions, I like to start showdown slates from viewing, okay, who do I think wins this game, and trying to make a pick against the spread, right? Because I actually think that is more helpful than anything else in determining how you want to do your player groups, how you want to do your captain exposures. And my answer, and I'm curious what yours is, I think Green Bay not only covers, but I think Green Bay wins outright in this game.
Yeah, I honestly don't really build that way. Just because, you know, I lean on the Vegas odds so much as far as making the projections. I would say the one thing I did write up in the NFL DFS Showdown Strategy article over at Daily Roto, which if you are a subscriber, I highly recommend checking that out. I also recommend rereading it, you know, once a week as you're thinking about showdown lineups. There's a lot of tidbits in there as far as creating groups. But instead of trying to pick which way the game's going to go and adjust from there, I would rather build lineups that kind of cover a few different scenarios, you know, the game going according to plan, according to the Vegas odds, kind of the median expectation.
Do you think that hurts your bink percentage though? Or do you feel that improves your bink percentage by trying to cover more possible outcomes?
Well, I've won 9 showdown contests and I've
not everyone is going to run like God, like you. So this is more of a theoretical question as opposed to your results.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if I'm using Vegas odds as the kind of foundational point for a lot of what I do and creating groups off of that, and I've been able to win 9, then I feel like it can't hurt the bank percent too much. I think as long as you're creating logical groups, you know, the goal is just to get live and to get up there and then just hope that the 10-sided coin that you flip lands your way, you know, one of those times over the course of the season. And I don't think building around the expected outcome is a bad thing to do. And it's going to depend entirely on the slate. The Packers are going to be the most popular players. Rodgers, Adams, Aaron Jones are going to be popular because they're known commodities and their role is known in the offense. And so I don't think that building through the Packers just because they're underdogs is going to be a contrarian way to approach this slate.
Yeah. Okay. So another couple ideas I had. What do you think about the idea of max one Chicago running back? So I'm just like, I was going through things and I thought, you know, it does not make a ton of sense to me to get David Montgomery, Tarik Cohen, and Mike Davis and any Venn diagram of that group all together in the same lineup. I'm thinking it makes the most sense to say, okay, you know, this is a good Mike Davis game. David Montgomery probably doesn't have 15 DraftKings points. If this is a good Montgomery game, same thing for Mike Davis and same thing for Cohen as well. I think theoretically you could argue that Montgomery and Cohen, basically play different positions. But I'm overall of the mindset that I kind of don't want David Montgomery in my runs at all.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I would say one of the, I don't even know if it's a leak, but one of the things that was most frustrating for me would be the slates where two running backs from the same team did go off last year. And I was typically creating groups like you suggest, basically max one running back per team. And a lot of times you, not a ton, but you did see two running backs get there with some degree of frequency, whether it was the Broncos, most notably with Lindsey and Freeman, but there was also that huge $1 million to first Super Bowl contest, and both Sony Michel and James White got there for the Patriots. Now, the scenario where they get there is exactly what happened in the Super Bowl. The game goes far under the Vegas total. You know, there's a lot less scoring. There's a lot less touchdowns. And so there's fewer points to go around, and therefore they can get there. So I guess the answer to your question is, like, yes, two Bears running backs can definitely get there. They're probably only getting there in, you know, one of those very nuanced game scripts where something unexpected happens and it goes way under the total. But we did see it happen in the Super Bowl. Someone won $1 million. I think they won $1 million solo. They did it with two running backs from the same team. So I think it can get there. Now, I don't think it's likely.
Well, I think that's a team where I would never make that rule. I would never make that rule for the New England Patriots. I don't view
it that different. Like, I don't think, like, if so let's take David Montgomery, Mike Davis, and the uncertainty out of the question. Like, Tariq Cohen and James White have so many similarities.
I think it's fine to do Montgomery and Cohen or Davis and Cohen, but I think Davis and Montgomery should not be in this. The rule that I have is max one Davis, Montgomery, but I don't have Cohen in that group. I think Cohen is basically a wide receiver.
Good. I think that makes sense. The other thing I was thinking about, and it would just be potentially doing that as a captain. So if I'm using either Davis Montgomery or Cohen at the captain to avoid the other running backs in that scenario, because that would imply that someone gets used to like an outsized share versus right now where we have it pretty even, not evenly split, but distributed with all three guys being pretty involved.
Okay. Now I think that we should probably talk about quarterback ownership percentages, especially as it relates to captains. So obviously quarterbacks project for the most fantasy points, and, you know, more than any other position, I think quarterbacks have the ability to kind of skew showdown results, because obviously, you know, Rodgers and Trubisky, if they combined for 55 DraftKings points in this game, I don't know if anyone really bat an eye, right? Like that's an outcome that's, you know, maybe the 70th percentile outcome or something like that. But those guys are going to be owned in the captain slot at, you know, just an insane percentage. So how do you kind of deal with these really high projections as it pertains to the captain spot?
Yeah. So I think the first thing is one, just in general, I think the ceiling projections on some of the other players are a little bit higher. So I think if you run with like the default medium projections for whatever site you subscribe to, you'll kind of get a lot of quarterbacks at the captains. If you run with the ceiling projections at Daily Roto, I think you'll start to see that reduced a little bit, at least the way that I've been approaching things. So that's definitely something I think to consider is, you know, there are scenarios where Rodgers does throw four touchdowns, and obviously he's going to be more likely to be a captain there. But I think what we would probably expect to happen is, you know, two and a half would be the expected outcome. And if he only throws two, I'm not sure that's enough to be there as the captain. I don't think I have the stones to full on fade them at the captain spot, but I do think that I'll be very underweight the field.
I'm really thinking about nuking Trubisky from the captain spot.
I mean, I think if you're an aggressive player, I think that the math would kind of back it up as being one of the over-owned positions, but it also definitely increases the ability of you just getting $0 back.
I mean, you know, first slate of the season, I'd really like to not start it with just a, you know, a big fat zero ball in the return on investment. But on the other hand, it would also be nice for Trubisky to have 14 fantasy points and be absolutely drawing dead to be useful in like, I think the quarterbacks, this is probably like kind of a low fantasy point scoring environment. It's a low Vegas total. Neither of these teams play particularly fast on offense. And also there's this interesting thing where I think people think the Bears are like a good offense. If you had to guess, where do you think the Bears were in terms of points scored in the NFL last year?
I mean, I kind of have them pegged as like middle of the road. I would think they were like 17th or 18th.
Yeah, they were. I'm going to go look this up right now, but I'm pretty sure they were 18th. But like people do not talk about them that way, though. People talk about, you know, how creative Matt Nagy was and all that stuff.
Well, yeah, it's like Trubisky had like four or five games above 30 fantasy points, and then he had a ton of games below 15 as well. So he definitely had some massive ceiling weeks, and then some weeks where things kind of sputtered.
Okay, no, I was wrong. So they were fine. They were top 10 in points scored, but they were 20th in yards per play. So basically, they just ran super hot. You know, really, you would expect yards per play and points scored to be like kind of like a 1-to-1 correlation, like Chiefs most points, most yards per play, Rams second in both, so on and so forth. But the Chiefs scored way more points than yards gained. Or the Bears scored way more points than yards gained.
Got it.
Yeah. So I kind of am approaching their offense that way. Where like I'm much more interested in the like ancillary Packers pieces.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the other piece with the Bears is definitely that they're spread out. You know, at the wide receiver position, you got the guys that people are used to playing last year with Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller, Taylor Gabriel, but addition of Cordarrelle Patterson, I think, throws a wrinkle, not only in the running back projections, but also the wide receiver projections. And how are they going to use Patterson versus Taylor Gabriel, who was kind of one of their gadget plays that was higher yards per target last year, that showed a pretty big ceiling last year. And trying to decipher how they're going to use those two guys, I think, is another key to the slate. I've tinkered with creating a rule to play at most one of Gabriel or Patterson, because I think it's unlikely they both have a ceiling game, but I think it's fairly likely that one of these guys ends up being utilized in a way that would be conducive to a really good GPP score.
Yeah, I am boosting Patterson to be like a top, I think it was like top 8 player in my pool. I want to have him at like in between 20 and 30% exposure and have him, you know, in the captain spot as well. I think if you just look at the history of Patterson's career, he's the sort of player who can turn 2 targets, 4 carries into, you know, 18 DraftKings points.
Yeah, and the captain spot, it's a good point for the conversation, I guess. The way that a $1,000 player ends up in the winning captain lineup, one would be with a true ceiling game, like 20 DraftKings points. Seems really unlikely for Patterson. It's definitely possible, but it's definitely unlikely just based on what we're projecting to happen right now. But the other way that it gets there is if it happens to be a game where the offense is all pretty strong, but nobody has like a smash value. And so, you know, you get Adams and Robinson and Rodgers and Trubisky kind of all between 15 and 20 DraftKings points, and you want them all in the winning lineup. And then you start to get some of those value players at the captain position potentially. And then as far as non-captain, the way Patterson ends up in the winning lineup is you're kind of just looking at like, what is his ability, not necessarily to produce a huge game, but to outscore the other punts that are there. So in the $1,000 price range, you're kind of talking about Patterson versus Dexter Williams versus Shaheen versus, you know, the true punts like a Jake Kumerow or whatever. And
I think even if Burton doesn't play, I think Patterson is a stronger play than Adam Shaheen. And that is likely going to be something that either gives me zero, like massive insane leverage, or just kills, you know, 30% of my lineups.
Yeah, and I think it's closer to a coin flip than you do. And so with the price discount, Burton does play, I think that Shaheen's a good play regardless.
No, I think Shaheen, I actually would prefer to play Shaheen if Burton is active somehow. I really would, because Shaheen is going to be like, I mean, he's going to be chalk if Burton doesn't play, right? Like he is going to be someone that people are using in captain. He's going to be that people are using to get double quarterback Davante Adams, Allen Robinson lineups. Like he is going to be a very common differentiator if Burton is inactive.
Yeah, I do agree. And I agree the best case scenario is that Burton ends up active and plays but plays like a limited role, and hopefully that would be enough to keep the people off him. And yeah, I guess if the news is going to be, it's going to be late enough that some people aren't going to adjust their lineups no matter what, but we are going to get somewhat early news. I guess it's always possible that we get it at like 4 or 5 p.m but chances are more likely, I guess, that we won't know until the inactives come out.
Yeah, and I if I was a wagering man, I would wager probably that he's not going to play. It's like everything I've read seems very pessimistic about him being active for this game. So however that goes. Also, I guess one. I just need to make one more note on Patterson while we're here. He is the active leader in the NFL in terms of yards per return on kick return, and the only person he trails in NFL history is Gale Sayers. So a special teams touchdown by him, I think, is not out of the equation.
the double dip. Are you typically somebody who plays defenses and kickers?
About 80% of slates, I'm just going to nuke them entirely. I'm just not going to play them at all. For this slate, I think I'm going to just exclude them from captain, but I'm a little bit gun shy about going zero for like 500 in my lineups on the opening day of the season because of like two defensive touchdowns.
Yeah. I think the kickers are kind of the same way. Like the kickers are, you know, they're going to project, you know, for 7 to 9 fantasy points. They've got the ceiling to put up like 13. I think the way I try to think about it, and it's kind of something I struggle with in the groups, and so I don't always get there, and sometimes they just nuke them, like you said, but they're most relevant in games that are going to end up lower scoring. Same with the defensive players. So I think that the Bears, if you're going to use them, you want it to make sure it's at least a four-man Bears onslaught. You probably want it to be one of those lower scoring game script type things. So if you do end up playing a couple Bears running backs from the same team, maybe that's the type of team where you end up slotting the Bears defense in there. And then if you're going to do it there, I think you bring it back with like the PPR wide receivers on the Packers side, opposed to counting on like touchdown banks, because that's pretty unlikely to happen if you've got a really strong performance from the defense.
Yeah, I think I really don't want to play defenses, and I don't really want to play the kickers either, because I think there are like some interesting sort of cheaper options. But I guess I probably will do. I'll have some Crosby, Pinero, probably max one of them though.
Yeah, I think max one is a good rule, and trying to manage my exposure to. Just the ceilings for sure limited.
Yeah, this like they're good. They're like good cash plays or whatever, but not guys that I'm super interested in playing in. And you know, I think it's very unlikely Mason Crosby ends up winning anyone $1 million.
Yeah, so I don't typically play guys that are kind of totally off the radar, but a lot of sharp players do, and there are definitely scenarios where you're not going to have as many duplicate lineups if you go heavy on.
These are two teams that have guys off the radar who I think will at least be on the field.
So wanted to toss a couple random punt names at you. Dexter Williams would be one of them for the Packers. Jake Kumerow, Trevor Davis, two wide receivers for the Packers that are sub $1,000. Don't project in the top three, but they could see the field either in four-man sets or just for a couple snaps here or there, or in the case of an injury. And then I was curious if you had any thoughts on any of the depth tight ends for the Packers, just because, I mean, Jimmy Graham's still going to be on the field a lot, but he is pretty old at this point. And so you get one of those like play action bootlegs to the tight end or the fullback, and those stuff can swing slates too. So do you have any interest in the total punts that we don't really project for much work at all?
Yeah, because Jay Sternberger is on the IR. So, and this is actually a true thing about the Packers. They love their like jumbo personnel. Like they are keeping four or five tight ends on their roster total. So I think giving like a 0.7 projection to Robert Tanyan and Mercedes Lewis, I think both of those things are, I think I probably would be interested in doing both in my runs just to get, you know, get a little bit of them. And I think the same is true because the Packers truly only have five wide receivers. Jamon Moore and Equanimeous St. Brown are both on the injured reserve. So playing Trevor Davis, playing Jake Kumerow, I think that's good. Yeah. I think getting them in some of your lineups is an interesting thing because that'll leave salary on the table, which gives you a better chance at having a unique lineup. And you can also include Kumerow and Davis in your Rodgers rules. So in your Rodgers captain lineups, you can go with Rodgers, must play at least two, Devonta Adams, Geronimo Allison, Jimmy Graham, MVS, Kumerow, Trevor Davis.
Yeah. And I think both of us there, you know, we're both going to play 150 plus lineups, and that's really the only type of roster construction that we're talking about those types of players for. If we're talking smaller fields, single entry, three max, I don't think either of us are going to dip outside of like the core starters, top three wide receivers for each team, top couple running backs, you know, both quarterbacks, obviously, right?
Yeah. I mean, What I would do if I was building by hand in single entry to three max, what I would do would be probably Captain Rogers and just be fading David Montgomery. Cause I think Montgomery is to me most likely to be like a pretty bad chalk play in this slate. I think Montgomery's pretty bad in this slate.
I don't have a pulse at all on ownership for this slate. I agree. There is a clear path to him busting just because it's a rookie running back in
People just like him. Like, I just know from like doing all these drafts and listening to all these fantasy football podcasts, people just like really like David Montgomery. And I don't think he's that good of a player. And I don't think his path to playing time is that clear either.
Makes sense. I know you and I are both probably building a dozen or so groups in the Daily Roto Optimizer. If you guys are going to be using an optimizer for Showdown, I obviously highly recommend the Daily Roto product. You can save 10% with promo code LAUNCH if you want to join us for the Showdown season. I've also written that premium Showdown strategy guide, which is about 3,000 words, breaks down the entire strategy that I used to win 9 Showdowns for more than $100,000 last year. And there's a bunch of different things in there that kind of teach you to fish and can give you the insights to create your own groups. I would say that I focus mostly on the DraftKings format. We did get a question in chat about the difference and nuance between DraftKings and FanDuel. And the reason I think that the DraftKings format is a lot better is, one, there's an extra player that you're playing. And so that by itself is going to decrease the number of duplicates because people aren't going to have the exact same number of combinations when you expand an extra player. Also, the way that the PPR and the bonuses work, I think, make the player pool deeper just from the function of a fantasy scoring environment. And then the salary multiplier on the captain position also makes it tougher. And so a combination of those things, I think, leads to a lot chalkier builds on FanDuel being successful, a lot more duplicates on FanDuel, and just generally a worse game and a worse, less edge. And so I would actually recommend not playing the Showdown format on FanDuel unless you absolutely have to. I would highly recommend playing it on DraftKings.
Well, it's only 5 roster spots on FanDuel, right?
Yeah. So,
I mean, what is that? I don't get it. Why?
It's just like a bland game and I don't find it very interesting. So my recommendation is don't play it, play DraftKings. And I'm going to get involved in the second half slate tonight as well, Davis.
Yeah. But do you want to give some of the second half edge away right now? Or do you want to save that for subscribers only?
I just think for Daily Roto subscribers, I guess the biggest thing, I do think it's going to be a high edge game. I think a lot of people are going to be building lineups on their phone. And I think the Daily Roto subscribers have the biggest edge because our projections are fully customizable. So in the game total box, you can adjust the totals to plug in second half totals there. You can adjust play count. You can adjust run to pass ratio based on if teams are playing well from ahead or well from behind. And all of that allows you to have a ton of flexibility in a period of time where you basically have an hour or 30 minutes to turn around these lineups or even less sometimes. And so I think that the way that our custom projections are set up at Daily Roto is a massive edge for second half Showdown. And I would be really surprised actually if a Daily Roto subscriber didn't bank the $20K first place for second half Showdown tonight.
How surprised would you be if you don't win it personally? Like, are you like a minus 120 favorite for this?
I mean, I'm definitely a like 50-1 dog to win it, but I think a Daily Roto subscriber is like minus 200 to win it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the projections and the tools. I mean, I guess the biggest edge would have to be like somehow accounting for like an in-game injury, right? Like,
yeah,
that would be the biggest thing.
And just like playing time too, right? Like, people are using other sites' projections. They're not going to be adjusting these. We're not going to be adjusting ours either, but they're fully customizable. So if you start to see that like David Montgomery is playing a lot of snaps and they get ahead, you can tweak the market share really quickly and have that flow through, whereas other people are just going to be using their default stuff. And similarly, you'll be able to see maybe a little bit about the snap count at the wide receiver position, a little bit maybe about if they're using Cordarrelle Patterson. And then for the Packers, you know, you might be able to see whether or not they favor Kumerow or Trevor Davis and things like that. So I think all that stuff, you basically have a narrow window of time to react to it. So I think that creates an edge for the people who are listening.
Yeah. All right.
I think Grid's going to win the second half.
I hope not. he'd be insufferable with the Showdown bank. All right. Do we have any? Oh, I guess. Okay. The one other point I wanted to make, or the one other tout I wanted to make, is in my runs, I am boosting Marquez Valdez-Scantling ahead of Geronimo Allison in raw points. So they were close anyways with the difference in salary in terms of exposure that you'd get. But I want him to have more raw points than Geronimo Allison in our optimizer, because I would rather have him in the captain, and I would rather have him in Rodgers' captain lineups as well. Because I think that Marcus Valdes-Scantling, I think his 90th percentile game is much, much better than Geronimo Allison's 90th percentile game.
Yeah, and we kind of buried the lead, but these teams did play each other on a primetime showdown slate last year, and it ended up being a four-man Packers stack that won things with two Bears coming back the other way. In that lineup, it was actually a pretty unique one with Randall Cobb as the winning captain. A lot of people are going to favor Devontae Adams. Obviously, Cobb has since moved on, but stacking Rodgers with Cobb and additional wide receivers from the Packers ended up being the way to go. And so I do think both Allison and Valdes-Scantling will be contrarian picks at the captain position. I think that the upside is definitely there, as a lot of people jam in both quarterbacks and Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones. I think you can find some differentiation on both teams by focusing captain ownership onto the wide receiver positions. In a single entry, I know you said you would play Rodgers. I think I would try to focus on a wide receiver if it was me, though.
I think in single entry, like, the team would be Rodgers captain, Adams, MVS, Cordarrell Patterson, and then, you know, fill out whatever those last two slots are. That to me seems like the nuts tournament team.
Yeah, I think I would, like, if I was only building one and I was worried about min cash and the bank equity, I think I would have Devontae Adams probably as my captain.
I think like, when you get into a territory where a wide receiver is a chalk captain, it's bad. Like, I would really only prefer to have a substantial portion of my lineups with a wide receiver captain if it's the second wide receiver on a team, or if it's someone like Smith-Schuster, who I think could have like 80 captain points or something, or 60 captain points.
I think you're kind of overrating your ability to evaluate talent, though, because like, Adams has just as ability to put up like a 60.
Wow, Davis Maddock being overconfident in his ability to project players over a single game. I don't know if this has ever happened before in the history of the podcast. Yeah. All right. So is that it? Do we have everything covered on the Bears Packers showdown slate that we want to cover?
Yeah, I think that's it. Just reemphasize, focus on groups in the Daily Roto Optimizer. If you guys aren't using the optimizer to build showdown lineups, I think you're behind the field, and I would highly recommend using the one at Daily Roto. If you want to enter the promo code LAUNCH, you can save 10%. You can also get access to my premium showdown strategy guide for the entire season. If you are a subscriber, I would recommend just pulling that up, rereading it kind of once a week as you build showdown lineups. I think there are a lot of things in there that are easy to get lost in the shuffle when you actually start to go and build lineups. And so I've kind of got that in the second monitor as I create my groups, just to got to relearn to ride the bike this offseason, Davis.
Yeah, I mean, I am last year I did pretty well in showdown, but I never used groups. I just was using like Rand and shuffling to get the exposures that I wanted, but I was not using groups.
Yeah, so you probably had some dead lineups in there. It could have increased the bank percent with some more correlation. So hopefully our users will get there. Obviously, a ton of great stuff on this podcast stream already. Drew and Mike did a big main slate breakdown yesterday, which was awesome. And then I know you've got some stuff dialed up for tomorrow as well.
Yeah, Jim Sonnes from FanDuel and NumberFire is coming on to make some picks against the spread with me on Friday afternoon.
So that should be awesome. If you guys like this podcast, give us a rating and review. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss anything. We will be having DFS fantasy season long and betting podcasts going 5 days a week at the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Show. So definitely make sure to support us. And obviously, if you guys want the access to the best tools at Daily Roto, make sure to enter the promo code LAUNCH to save 10%.